excited? Are you excited?
Yeah.
All right, I want you to be excited because we're going to have a wonderful time. I want to thank the ladies at Covenant Reform so much, or the whole church, for hosting us. And how about that yummy food? It was so good. Really appreciate that. And I want to take time and thank each one of you for taking time away from your life, from your family, from your home, and coming here today. And I know some of you traveled a long distance to get here. And guess what? We have been praying for every single one of you because we asked God to bring those that He wanted to be here, and He did. And that's you. So we are so glad you're here. Okay, so let's pray. Let's all bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for this beautiful day, for the weather, for spring. Lord, we praise you. We just put this whole time into your hands. And Father, we pray that this will be a blessing to you. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He came and He saved us. He died for us, that He rose again. And Lord, again, we just put this whole day into your hands and everyone that's here. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, and I have just a few announcements. First, how many of you attended the fall retreat at Rich Haven? Yay! Okay, wasn't it great? It was so great. And wasn't Nancy Guthrie out of this world wonderful? She was really great. Well, guess what? She has recommended our speaker that we're having this fall. And she's going to be able to come, and we are so excited. Told you I was excited. That Lisa Hellyer from Jackson, Mississippi, is going to be our speaker this fall. And she is a friend of Nancy's, and Nancy said we would love her. And guess what? I already do. So put on your calendars October 25th and 26th. Lisa's been a trainer for the PCA, and so we're just thrilled to have her. She's a great speaker, and she's funny. She's really great. So you're going to love her. And then more exciting news, we want you also to mark your calendars for our next spring gathering, and that's on March the 28th in 2020. 2020, can you believe? Okay, the ladies of Story Memorial in Marion are going to host us, and Mindy Bells is going to be our speaker. And many of you know Mindy. She's the senior editor at World Magazine, and she wrote the book, They Say We're Infidels. So that's going to be a really, really great time together, too. Next, there are lots of ways for us to stay in touch. If you're on Facebook, we are on Facebook. That's the Western Carolina Presbytery Women's Ministry, and we're also on Instagram as WCPWM. So, and how did you like that online registering? And thank you for being our guinea pigs for our first time using that, and it looks like it worked, so we are very thankful. Now, when you registered today, did you pick up your scripture sheet and your toxic yellow card? If you did not, raise your hand, and Connie will bring you one of those. I see one over here and one up here towards the front, too, because you need those. Okay, and I've got another very, very important announcement. We need more team members. Two of our very dedicated, devoted team members are rotating off, and we've got to replace them. So there are two requirements to be on our team. One, you've got to love Jesus, and the other is that you've got to care about the women in our churches. Those are the two requirements. Okay, so we have about a half a dozen meetings a year. We have two events a year that we plan. And if you're interested, there's a form in your program that you can nominate someone and ask them first. Or you can talk to any of our team members. And remember, two requirements. Love Jesus and care about the women in our presbytery. And it also helps if you have a sense of humor. Okay. Okay, and then in your program, on the very last page, there's a form that we need you to complete that regards our bylaws and suggestions for our team, okay? And we take those suggestions very seriously. This is all about you, so make sure that you fill that out. And if you turn that in and your name tag at the end of the meeting, We have a special gift for you. How about that? Okay, last announcement. This year, our annual love gift is going to go to two very important committees of our denomination, the Administrative Committee and the Retirement Benefits Committee. And we have lots of information for you about these committees for you to take back to your churches. There's extra ones that were on the registration table, and we want you to take it back and share it with your church. But let me tell you quickly about these two committees. The Administrative Committee. They work with our churches during transitions. They work with them during hard, painful times. They help them find pastors. It also assists pastors that don't have a call. They organize the General Assembly, and they publish our By Faith magazine, which you can get for free. And that's just a glimpse of some of their very important work. The other is the Retirement Benefits Committee. That serves our widows, and it serves disabled pastors across the PCA. They assist pastors with life insurance, financial planning, and retirement planning. And that's just a tidbit of how those two committees serve. And there's specific prayer requests, and they really ask us to pray for them, for both of these committees that are so vital to our denomination. So, and you're going to have opportunity today, later on in the program, to help support these committees. And also, if you have those little cell phones, would you silence those things so that they don't go off during our time together? Okay, and now I'm going to ask our treasurer, Terry Welsh, to come up and share with you.
Okay. I promise to make this short. If you will look in your pamphlet, you have two pages back to back. One of them is explaining the Women's Ministry Fund. If you remember, we changed the name of that from Askings to Women's Ministry Fund. And on the back of that, you see the approved budget for 2019. I have put this in a different format. Maybe it's a little faster to read. I know it's like a sleeping pill. But in any event, you have the information if you want it. If you want to look at it. And there's one specific thing that I want to stress, and that is the old Askings, which is now the Women's Ministry Fund. If you remember, we were asking $2 from each member of the women's ministry in each of our churches per year. Just that's it, per year. We have 29 churches. In 2017, 13 contributed to this. In 2018, 9 contributed. And this year, we have had 1 contribute so far. So please, if you would, check with your women's ministry, whoever is in charge, and make sure that you are contributing. We thank those profusely who are contributing now. But please, if you would do that, and remember that a matching amount, $2 per lady, goes to the women's ministry team in Lawrenceville, Georgia, for use on the denominational level. Okay. And if you have any questions, I'll try to field them for the Women's Ministry Fund. That's all I know. Thank you. And now.
Good morning. Thank you for that lovely introduction. Exactly who I am. I'm a nobody, so that's fine.
Folks, this is my pastor, and we put up with this every Sunday. My pastor is Reverend Skip Gilligan. He came to us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He came to us from Arden, and we are so thankful that they let him come, and he's with us. And that he's with us today. He stepped in and volunteered to help us out today.
Thank you.
Happy spring.
It's one of my unofficial duties as clerk of the presbytery, too. So I've been doing this. First time I came here, my hair was dark. So it's been a while. Tells you how long I've been been doing this. But I get to install the officers right now. So anybody who's going to be installed, come on up. Okay. Well, I understand there are just two questions now. Do you love Jesus and do you love women? There you go. Okay. Isn't that good? Well, let me make it a little more formal. Do you agree with the doctrine of the Presbyterian Church in America? Do you joyfully support the Constitution and the other documents of the Western Kerala Presbytery Women's Ministry? And do you faithfully promise to fulfill your duties as an officer of this wonderful ministry? Great. And do you all accept Elaine Seals as one of your officers here and to joyfully support her and encourage her in her duties? If so, say, I do. Okay. I'm supposed to have a word of encouragement, so it's really for all of you. But Elaine, encourage everybody to do spring cleaning. Because it's a biblical principle. For if we're in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, the old is gone and the new has come. So, this time of year, I have a lovely wife who happens to be here today. No, I won't ask her to stand up. But she loves to, and it's not just in the spring, but really a lot of time, just what are we not using? What can Goodwill use instead? But we need to look at our own lives and just say, you know, what is there that's really getting in my way of really doing what's important? Those old things that need to be out of our lives. And as God is working his spring cleaning in us day by day, moment by moment, throughout the year, that we would be engaged in doing that to the glory of God. Let me pray for Elaine and for all of our officers. Father, thank you for this wonderful ministry committed to serving your church, to building up the bride of Christ. And thank you for the wonderful ministry they do have. Thank you for the love that the leadership team has for you, for one another, for the ladies of this presbytery. So may you bless them, continue to give them great wisdom as they seek to equip us more to live to your glory. May that happen day by day and even this morning as they are gathered for the springtime. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand up. We're going to sing together. Let's stand up, and if you're willing and able, we're going to sing Stand Up for Jesus.
Suffer loss from this.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, ladies. Please be seated. Kathy, if you will come up, it's time for me to introduce you.
Okay.
I'm going to make you stand up there. I'm going to stand down here.
Woman. And I love you.
Ladies, I'm not going to take all the time this morning to talk about Kathy's secular career credentials. I sent those out. They were out on the flyer that went out. She is, when I want to hear a speaker, I want to know what credentials do they have? What makes them somebody I want to hear? Well, she has the credentials for the medical laboratory technology. She was a clinical supervisor at Olin Corporation Medical Center, at the Blue Ridge Community Health Center, a laboratory supervisor, an MLT, Henderson County Department of Public Health, clinic in Washington. So she has plenty of experience. Okay, those are some of her secular credentials. I want to spend most of my time on her spiritual credentials. When I was thinking about how I would introduce Kathy, that's what I thought about. She loved and accepted Jesus as her personal Savior when she was 9 years old. And she told me her age, but I'm not going to tell it today. Let's just say a few years ago. In her spiritual career, she has taught Sunday school classes and Bible studies for various churches. She currently assists in teaching a Bible study for the children in her church, the Bible Club. They're 6 to 11 years old. And the study is about the body of Christ, the Holy Triune God, and His church, the body of Christ. She also is helping to teach a class for the women at Covenant in Hendersonville on 1st and 2nd Peter. So she's also served on the missions team and the pastor search committee, and ours is not available. Okay. We were blessed by her leadership as the president of our team for this presbytery. But here's the Kathy that I've come to know as we have served together on the women's ministry team. First, she loves God, and I mean she loves God extravagantly. Our Sunday school lesson this Sunday is about Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus while Martha was busy running around doing everything else, but Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and soaked up his words. That's the Kathy I know. She loves him extravagantly. And yep, she would have gotten that bottle of that fragrance and probably two, and she would have taken that and anointed Jesus regardless of what those disciples or anybody else had to say about it. The Kathy I know. Secondly, she demonstrates God's love to each one of us. As she says, love you all over. And I miss you saying that every day.
I do. Okay.
And she does. She does. How does she demonstrate that love? She points us to God. Last month, when I expressed concern about the lack of registrations, it didn't look like there were very many coming in, she said, Connie, I believe that God's going to have those there he wants there. And that his message is especially for one or perhaps two. And that's enough. Thirdly, she's a prayer warrior. She loves and knows God's word and prays scripture for us. She's specific and intentional in her prayers for us as a team, for you ladies of Covenant who've worked so hard to prepare for us today to host the event, and each of you sitting here today, and even those who aren't here today. She is such a prayer warrior. I just can't tell you how many times that she sent us specific scripture that she's praying for us that day and for you that day. She prays that scripture for us. She's specific and intentional in her prayers for us. I've already said that, haven't I? Yesterday, I received a telephone message from her. And that message said, I'm praying for you as a team. But Connie, I'm specifically praying for you because I know you're out there running around like a chicken with its head cut off. She was right. In her preparation, she was not thinking about herself. She was thinking about you all and about other people. That's the Kathy that I know and love. Let me pray.
Thank you, Connie.
Father Howe, I thank you for Kathy, this precious sister who demonstrates your love to us each time we meet her and even when we're not with her physically. Father, thank you for her love and her joy for serving you. And I pray, Father, that you would be with her as she brings the message that you would have us to hear. And Father, open our hearts to receive that message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Connie. And I'm telling you something. Wow, that wore me out. But the very bottom, what you said first is the reason I could do all this is because I received Christ when I was 9 years old. and have been blessed to walk with him all these years. I'm thankful for a mother and father who taught me Jesus Christ, not just teach, but lived it in front of me. I'm very blessed. And we have to serve him. We're blessed. That gives us reason to serve him. Thank you, Connie. And I want to welcome, I know you've been welcomed. I'm going to welcome you again to this meeting today. And thank you for not running out when you saw this stage. Because it's different. It's very different. I told Joy we're going to have a little fun, but we're going to learn. And so I want to thank all of you who've had a part in this ministry. Your prayers are just absolutely, I covet your prayers. All of us do. Thank you. Thank you. Because that's why we're here today. And I thank all of those who worked so hard to put this together. This is a ministry of a lot of women. This did not just happen. And so it's a lot of women and the Holy Spirit driving the entire program. I want to explain the stage to you. Okay, this is a Roman soldier, a facsimile of a Roman soldier. And this is one of the hazmat team. Can y'all see that hazmat person? Isn't he pretty? Hazmat. I'm going to talk to you about what that is. But at the center, if you'll notice right down here, is the Bible. And we're centering every bit of this on the Word of God. So we're going to be using Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be doing the comparison of the Roman soldiers' gear, weaponry, also with hazmat. And you're going to see it all come together through the Lord. Okay, this barrel right here is where we're going to drown your toxic sins. In this, there's a lot of ways that they do destroy hazardous waste, but we can't use them in the church. We'll blow the church up. So we're just going to drown them in water from Micah chapter 7, verse 19. So don't worry, Covenant Reformed. And my pastor knows your pastor, and they talk. So, okay, and I want to explain this to you, too. You have a scripture sheet. With the scriptures, a lot of them that I'm using today, feel free to use your Bible if you'd like. But the scripture sheet doesn't have every single scripture on it that I'm using because the Holy Spirit added more. And then on the back, you have references to the ones you don't have written out. I want to make one correction on the reference sheet at the very back of your scripture sheet. And it's the third scripture from the bottom. That should be 1 Corinthians 2:16, not 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians. Also, I made a boo-boo on the first sheet where you have introduction. At the bottom of that section is John 1, 1 through 3. I left out a phrase. It's in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I left that phrase out. I'm going to be telling you, when I'm using scripture that you don't have there, that you want to make a note of it. So I will be doing that. And be glad I'm using this scripture. I started with over 200. So when I took this to my pastor to look at it, I said, now this is final. He said, no, it isn't. And your definition list that you have in your program, now if you got the devotions and went through the devotions, you saw the definition list. So that we're on the same page. And that is on the, let me see, third. Eight? No, it's 1, 2, 3. The third, definitions of our term used in presentation? 4. Okay, at the top. Now, I sent devotions out before, and some of these were already on it with definitions. That way, we're speaking the same language, and you're going to understand what I'm talking about. So, this is right there, so you refer to that, because that's going to be how you understand what I'm saying. Also, the toxic cards you have, I'm going to go more into that after the first session with question and answer, that we're going to have you write your toxic sins, the sins that keep you from having a perfect fellowship with God. You'll be writing down those sins on that yellow toxic paper. And at the end, we will be taking it up, and we're going to destroy it in using Micah chapter 7, verse 19, and we'll go into that later. Okay, I want you to take notes. You've got spare paper on, especially the back of the scriptures. You have got paper that you can write notes. Also, write down questions for our question and answer time, and I'll see if I can answer them. Okay, and what I'm using today, my sources of today are the ESV Study Bible. I'm going to refer to KJV on a couple of places, King James Version. I'm using the Armor of God brochure, that Rose Publications. I'm using some quotes from Dr. David Jeremiah, Oswald Chambers, Dr. Billy Graham, and George Mueller. So now we are ready. I'm going to pray again. Connie, thank you for your prayers. I'm going to pray again. So let's join in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to really guide us and direct us into everything He would have us see today. Let's pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this day that we can come together, that you will edify us, that we will see you in ways we never saw you before, therefore glorify you even more. And God, I praise you for each lady here who accepted your invitation to come, and they have come to learn about you. We commit this entire program, every bit of it, to you, that you would be lifted and you would be glorified. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that gives us discernment and direction. Thank you for all you do for us, our beautiful triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, our triune God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, wants us to see Him. He's right there in our daily life. He reveals Himself to us in everyday life. In our families, in our children, in our profession, in our environment. Our big problem is that we're too busy with our lives to really focus on Him. He is the greatest teacher that we could ever imagine, and He always presents opportunities for us to see Him. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll see that thing running through. God wants to, He wants you to hear Him. He wants you to hear Him. And that way we grow and that way we learn. So He is everywhere. I challenge you to see Him in everything in your life. In my profession, medical laboratory science, I have seen Him in such startling ways that it takes my breath away. He's the only one who can shut my mouth, and He has many times as I go, wow, wow, this is, I spend a lot of time wowing. Girls at Covenant know I spend a lot of time wowing, but He takes my breath away. I want to give you just one example of something He showed me when I had my certification for OSHA training for general industry and medical. OSHA means Occupational Safety and Health Administration. I'm sure all of you know about OSHA, and you usually, if you're like me, go, oh, here they come again, and teaching me all of these things I need to know. But OSHA teaches you how to stay clean, how to not cross-contaminate or cross-infect. They tell you how to stay away from people who are infected, what to do around those people, all the things that we should know when we're taking care of people. And I'm leaning more to the medical part of that. And we think we're so smart because we came up with those ideas years back. We just think we're so smart. Well, ladies, those very rules, those very fundamental OSHA training rules are found in one of the oldest books of the Bible. It's found in Leviticus 14, 15, and 18. When I teach OSHA, and I've taught it in several clinics, I've taught it in one clinic, and a human resources person comes up and, you can't talk about the Bible. I said, I certainly can when it is documentation of what I'm teaching. Oh, okay, so we're not so smart. Many new ideas and concepts are not new. They've been in the Word for a long time. We just need to pick up on it. Now, today I am excited to share with you the similarities of the hazmat team with what Paul's teaching here in the Scripture and the Roman soldier. God showed me this in 2012. And then I got busy with other things. And then I had some life changes at my husband's death in 2014. But He never let me forget it. He kept bringing it back. So we're going to see today how hazardous communications and hazardous communications leads us into hazardous material. We're going to suit up. We'll be comparing those positive things with the negative things. What we think are harmless, things we listen to, things we watch, are really not harmless. When we watch the wrong things, we say, oh, you know, maybe I'd like to have that video. And just, you know, I just for curiosity. So it leads to picking up hazardous materials. We're going to compare the personal protection equipment, that's PPE, of this little hazmat person here, with the personal protection especially that Paul writes about in Ephesians, and then with this Roman soldier. See, God's everywhere. He shows us everything. And we're going to do that comparison today. I want you all to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read, I want you to follow with me, I'm ESV, we're going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Okay, let's start, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, okay, let me tell you this beforehand. Paul's talking about the obedience to servants being obedient to their masters and how we're supposed to listen to them and take guidance from them. Then he says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, King James, I prefer here, says, above all, take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, first of all, what does suiting up mean? It means being prepared for a certain event, dressed to the occasion. Toxics, poison, and that can take many forms of toxin, of poison. We live in a toxic environment. We live in a physically, spiritually toxic environment. Our sins against God can become toxic. This is why you have this yellow sheet today. HAZCOM. It means hazardous communications. And hazardous communications are things you see when you bring cleaning reagents into your house or anything into your house that is poison or has poison. You see little symbols on them. Okay, those symbols, you got them good. Thank you. Okay, thank you. These symbols are hazardous communication. If you use this, this can happen to you. You can have a fire. You can have a health issue. You can have a skin irritant. This may hurt your breathing. That's your hazardous communication with hazmat. Okay, with HAZCOM, pardon me. Hazmat is all kinds of hazardous materials. Bleach, chemicals, mothballs, fumes, vapors. That's your hazardous material. PPE means personal protection equipment. And that's goggles. This little one's having trouble with the goggles because the hood wants to come down. But they have goggles and a mask that can be gloves, boots, and that's their PPE. Okay, this Roman soldier has his own PPE as described in the book of Ephesians, chapter of Ephesians. A biohazard means a biological agent that is a hazard to human beings and a possible potential hazard to the environment. And what it does is leave sickness and leave death. I'm going to use Agent Orange because you're familiar with Agent Orange. Okay, that was a biohazard agent that was a biohazard agent that did a lot of destruction. If it didn't kill our men then, it did neurological damage. The condition it left was pain, agony, and also death. Our hazardous agent is the great deceiver. Jot these verses down. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, he is called the great deceiver. And jot this, Exodus 12, 23, he's called the destroyer. And the condition he leaves is sin. The SDS is the safety data sheet. And what it does, for instance, if they came to the lab and we had a spill or we had any kind of fumes that had been released, they have a piece of paper from that particular department. Tell them every agent in there and what, how you treat it, how you take care of it. They don't want what we call reactivity. Don't mix this with this or this will happen. Don't do this with this or this will happen. We're going to see where the Word of God is our SDS. Okay, this is what that is. I've got another definition for you that's not on your sheet. And I want you to write this down because we're going to look at it two times. And this is what this hazardous waste, this is what this thing is here. We're going to destroy it. Okay, this one is called a papper. P is in Paul. A is in apple. P as in Paul. R as in Ralph. Okay, P-A-P-R. That piece of equipment filters out contaminated toxic air in the respirator. We're going to be looking at that spiritually, and we'll look at it again later. Okay, ladies, we're in a war zone. The atmosphere of our culture is toxic. I can't remember seeing and hearing such toxicity, which we will look at more closely in both sessions. It's so important to remember that this battle, this war, is between God and Satan. God has won it through Jesus Christ, and we still have battles if we're followers of Jesus Christ. And our commander-in-chief, I like the military. Our commander-in-chief is our triune God. He provides us with personal protection equipment suited up for every battle. Notice, every weapon we just read about is defensive except the Bible. Okay, the Bible. Okay, thank you. Okay, all of the other is defensive. God will never place us on a battlefield without properly equipping us. But he instructs us through prayer. Just as a nation equips their soldiers with necessary weapons to fight their enemy, God does the same for his warriors. And we know from his word that in order to activate this armor, we use two of our most treasured tools, prayer and the word of God. I often refer to prayer, the work of the Holy Spirit, as my spiritual WD-40. Because he has to anoint what I'm doing, and then I feel comfortable with what I'm doing. He anoints all of these pieces of weaponry. Now we're going to look at how God gives us for each battle these weapons. As I told you in the beginning, we're going to look at the similarities here. So we're going to look at our men. Okay, I'm going to step back. Okay. Level A is the highest level of hazmat suit because it protects, shield, everything. Usually they use this type of thing for nuclear problems. The second one has a high level of respiratory protection, not as much for skin and eyes, but that for protection. Level C is wearing the air, the powered air purifying respirator. I didn't give you the definition. This is what it means. P-A-P-R is powered air purifying respirator. Powered air purifying respirator. And this one is wearing it, number six. And then we have the work uniform, which is also called hazmat. And he is suiting up for whatever he has to do, certain gloves, certain helmet, certain shoes. That's what he has to do. The on-site incident commander will define the personal protection equipment ensemble required of his team based on the event to where they're going. Okay, let's read in our text verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. This is how we present as we walk through this toxic biohazard world. Be strong, how? In the Lord and in the strength of his might. We know there's no way for us to be strong and walk in this life unless he is giving us his strength. We must rely on his strength, which he supplies through prayer. Notice, I want you to notice this, that each piece of armor represents Jesus Christ. Take out your scriptures here, your scripture sheet. Each piece represents Jesus Christ. First, the truth. And that's John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. He is truth. He is righteousness. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Okay, he is peace. The Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. How many of you are singing this? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, okay, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is faithful. His name is faithful. In Revelation 19:11, it says this, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, wow, there's another wow. Behold means wow. Okay. A white horse, the one sitting on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Okay, and now we see the word of God. And we see John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, the word was God. The same was at the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Through the power of prayer, our on-site commander, the Holy Spirit, will define the personal protection equipment needed for each battle we face against the enemy. First, we have to know why we're being equipped. Why are we going to battle? Who's the enemy? Well, verse 12 tells us who the enemy is. Let's look at verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our commander-in-chief tells us, put on the whole armor, so we're able to stand against these schemes of the devil. Girls, without the guidance of the Lord, we wouldn't recognize a lot of those schemes. And with high tech that's all around us, you'll have a scheme laid on you before you know what's happened. So he has to give us that strength, and in his strength he does give it that. Again, this battle is between God and Satan, the great deceiver. We know this because of what we were instructed in verse 12. So beginning in verse 13, he tells us to suit up. Are y'all ready to suit up? The war has already been won, but we're in battles every single day. So let's read verse 13 together in our text. Having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Our first order is fasten on the belt of truth. When Roman soldiers prepare for battle, first they put on their belt. And let me tell you, you can't see real well here. And I'm afraid I'm going to move it. Oh, and this is another thing we need to thank God for, Mark and Tim. They dressed my soldier. Okay. And he's got a belt here. They would put their weapons inside the belt, what they needed for the battle was put there. Also, you see this right here. They could pull that up in the belt and not run over themselves fighting. Get it out of the way. Our truth is Jesus Christ. He directs our way. To his disciples, he said and still says, I am the way, the truth. He is the ultimate truth, and he is the word of God. So we have to arm ourselves with truth by knowing the truth. And when I say knowing the truth, I mean really knowing Jesus. And the only way you're going to know him is to stay in the word. And listen to your pastors. Listen to your teachers. Know him. The more you learn to know him, the more you love him. We know that the way he directs us is true because he never misleads us. I want us to read Hebrews 12:1. And we're going to see where he tells us to be ready for battle by laying aside all the weights and sins that would hinder us. So it's Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He says to weight and sin. Sometimes you can carry baggage that you don't really need, and it weighs you down. And so he's telling us to lay all of that aside. The hazmat team has to lay aside. He says to lay aside that. And quoting, this is a quote from Dr. Jeremiah. And this is so important. And it really went good. When we know the truth and we live the truth, we can access our weapons quickly and confidently without fear that anything is out of place in our life. Unquote. In 2 Corinthians 4:2, I don't think we have that. You might want to jot that down. I may tell you to jot some down that you already have on the back page. It states this, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice. I think it's in, yeah, you've got that. 2 Corinthians 4:2. Okay, let me say this first. Okay, I ran ahead of myself. Okay, let me tell you this. When we know our weapon, when we've got it beside us, our weapons beside us, we don't have to hunt for them. So this is what we see in this particular scripture I just gave you, which is 2 Corinthians 4:2. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Truth does hold everything together. You see things flying apart? Okay, you'll see things flying apart. Truth holds everything together, and it makes us ready to defend ourselves against the enemy. We are seeing just the opposite all around us. And here in your scripture page, you have Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. And let's go over that. But that's not the way. Let me tell you this first. That's not the way. This is Paul talking to the Ephesians. And he's talking to the Gentile Christians, telling them what it's like to have new life in Christ. Okay, so finally. But that's not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, I want you to jot this next scripture down. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. We're going to look at it twice. And this is what it says. This is the protection we have from the truth of Jesus Christ and standing in the truth. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone, leading us into protection. The only language God speaks is truth. Truth does not lie. The only language Satan speaks is lies. He is the father of lies. Lies are his native tongue. Lies cannot speak truth. And I want you to look at John 8:44. You've got that on your paper. And let me tell you what's happening here. Men are coming to Jesus Christ who want to kill him. And they say they are the sons of Abraham. So Jesus says, you are of the father, you're the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and he's the father of lies. And girls, deception is a lie. He is a great deceiver. Deception certainly isn't the truth. So it has to be a lie. Do we suffer the toxic sin of listening and engaging in lying? As the hazmat team goes to battle a crisis, they expect their leader to tell them the whole truth about what's expected of them in order to clean up a situation, to check on people, to make sure everything's okay. And they're given such directions as this. Resist rushing in. Approach incident from upwind. Stay clear of spills. Stay clear of vapors. Just as we're reminded of the weights that hinder us, they're also warned about the weights that they might have. Weight restricts movement. They're restricted by vision. Their vision's restricted sometimes because they don't keep their eyes on what they're supposed to do. You and I are supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Difficulty with communications due to face protection. But we must listen to the Holy Spirit and walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. They must listen to the truth of their leader or risk harm to themselves and others. They only take the gear for that specific battle so they're not weighed down with unnecessary tools. When the hazmat team knows the truth about the enemy they're facing, they will have the courage to stand unencumbered and ready to defend themselves. Okay, let's go to verse 14, and we're going to put on the breastplate. Now, this is a strange-looking little breastplate, but we had to improvise. So this represents the breastplate, and this breastplate of righteousness. This is verse 14 in our text, so let's read it. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. In Christ, we stand firm. Again, we're told to stand. The world in which we live today surrounds us with so much biohazard material and attempts to poison us with their lies, with their rage, with their promiscuous behavior. And they're in our face all the time. So our Lord orders us to stand against all the ungodly behavior, therefore suiting us up for these onslaughts. He now directs us to the breastplate of righteousness. Girls, this next scripture just blew me away when I first read it. Turn to Isaiah, or you've got it here on your paper. Isaiah chapter 59. We're going to read 14 through 20, and we'll pivot on verse 17. But this, I went, wow! And my poor pastor, I'm sure I wear him out because I run to him and tell him this stuff, whoa! And get excited. But right here, Isaiah is speaking the words of God as if God is speaking. So I want us to read, starting with verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 59. And Isaiah is saying this for God because he wants conviction and humiliation from the people and justify that God speaks clear when he judges. And I want you to start reading now. See if you're reading today's newspaper or tomorrow's newspaper. Justice is turned back. Righteousness stands far away, for the truth has stumbled in the public squares, and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation. His righteousness upheld him. Listen here. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so will he repay. Wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. To the coastlands he will render repayment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising sun. For he will come like a rushing stream which the Lord drives. And we'll do the last verse next. Understand this. And this is what took my breath. He is putting on his own righteousness as a breastplate and helmet of salvation. He's clothing all of us with the same attire through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you get that? That is exciting. That's very exciting. I got real excited. Then I got more excited in verse 20. Because no matter, see, when we're reading that, we're thinking about what's going on right now. Nothing new under the sun. And we go, wow, is there any hope? And our hope's in Jesus Christ. But he says this to them, the last verse, verse 20. And a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. He sends redeemer. He sends us the Lord. When we don't deserve it, he has given us Jesus Christ. We just receive him, and we're so blessed when that happens. I want you also to look at Romans 5:20. I don't think I have it over here. But let's turn to Romans 5:20. I liked it better in King James. I should have brought that. Okay. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Doesn't that remind you of that scripture? Don't you love how scripture confirms scripture? And this is where grace abounds, even with all of this going on. Okay, now let's read together, and you've got this on your scripture sheet, Hebrews 1:9 and 2 Thessalonians 3:3. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And this is a quotation from Psalm 45, 6 and 7, where God is saying to his son, the son is rightfully called God, and in this case, by God the Father. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. This is a realization. He is our protector. He will guard us and protect us. And he's given us a redeemer. We too stand in righteousness, as I said, given to us by our commander-in-chief. We have no righteousness. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who protects us from the great deceiver. It is Christ's righteousness that is our armor. The breastplate was also used to protect the vital organs of the soldier, mostly the heart. And God is using that breastplate of righteousness for us to protect our spiritual heart and the air we breathe. And I'm going to point that out with the papper later. Because this is our protection he gives us. So, let me see. When he guards our heart, we have to have that guarded all the time. And with this protection he gives us, and thinking about the hazmat protection, sometimes if you see these people, they'll scare the daylights out of you. And there's more hazmat suits than this. One of them is the fire department. And I happened to round a corner at Sam's the other day, and a hazmat had been called out for some kind of problem, and they carry an axe. So I thought, well, this man's going to battle. I'm not the enemy. So I'm getting out of the way. So we are armed to take care of even fires. And we know how to run when we're not the enemy, too. But we have got to keep on our full armor. Okay. We're not supposed to look like we're of this world. And when we put those on, we don't look like we're of this world. So then this hazmat suit is non-porous. Have any of you ever had to wear a hazmat suit? You can't breathe. It's non-porous. So it protects the heart. It protects the lungs. And not as greatly as this one does. He has the breastplate that protects him, and it's a serious breastplate, like the one Paul talks about for us. That's the breastplate to protect the heart. Okay, I want you just, I want you to be careful. When I hear women say this, I go, oh, don't say that. Just follow your heart. Look out. Let's read Jeremiah 17. nine. What does it say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Let's look at Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery. Do you really want to follow your heart? Be real careful. God guards our hearts and he protects us from the world's poison as we carry his armor with us. If we determine through him to not involve ourselves with hazardous communications, then we will see him more readily and be protected more readily. This includes, in our hazardous communication, was the little symbol. Their hazardous communication were the little symbols warning what's going to happen. Okay, we have spiritual hazardous communications that say, look out, if you do this, this will happen. Be careful of this. This is going to happen. And so, when we listen to music, maybe we shouldn't listen to that certain music, but you know as could be. So we listen to it. The TV, the computer, the movies we see, the things we read do have an effect on us. Do any of you just want to peek at your astrology sometime? I wouldn't do that if I were you. I don't believe it. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm curious. I just want to see what it says. Okay, look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. That is on your sheet. And let's read that. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whosoever does these things is what? An abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. Okay, I encourage you not to look at this stuff, because everything that we see and hear has a cause and effect. You may think it doesn't, but it does. And he equates astrology with witchcraft. There are other verses, James 4, 13 through 16. This one is, and you've got this on your sheet. We try planning our future. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. Next week I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this. I'm going to go to Belk's and buy that before the store closes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And that's arrogance. And we're taking our life, and we're taking control of our own life, we think. So in James, in James chapter 4, verse 13 through 16, says, come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet, who do you think you are is what it is. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. You boast in your own arrogance. Every day, ladies, and Covenant knows this, they hear it over and over. Every day, I have a schedule. Y'all do too, don't you? Have a schedule. And I say, okay, God, this is my schedule, but I'm asking you to edit my schedule for the day. Edit it. Okay, we know, because we believe he's in complete control, he's going to do what he wants anyway. But you and I are surrendering when we say that. We're surrendering our will to his plan. So, and that's just a good idea for me. You may not have that problem. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, talking to God, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. He knows what he's doing. I trust him over I trust me, because I don't trust me too well. Okay, other verses are James 4, 13 through 13 through 16. Do I have it on here? Yeah, I just read that. Okay, Jeremiah, I just read. We're told also, I want you, and I put that as a reference in the back, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 17, we're not going to read it. I want you to read it because this is a warning to stay away from certain people and their influences. I don't think we have any young people, well, all of you are young, I'm sorry, have children here, young people, but this is so important for a young person to understand. That's peer pressure, and that's not hanging with the wrong kind of people. I know a lot of our youth seems to think if they hang with someone who's really steeped in some kind of bad situation, they can bring them out. But what usually happens? Okay, we need to have them. When you get home, read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 17. So are we guilty of the toxic sin of being involved in what the world describes as enjoyment? Our spiritual lungs are air we breathe, and it's representative of the Holy Spirit living in us. With the contaminated air we breathe, I'm speaking of evil speaking, evil singing. Our blessed spirit delivers to us a spiritual oxygen transfusion. Wow. He is the refreshing air we breathe. When we're attentive to him, he filters out all the biohazard air that we breathe. The hazmat team over here and number six. Oh, you're so good at line number C. Okay, he's wearing his papper because he's going into an area that has toxic fumes, vapors, anything that's going to keep him from breathing. And this papper is made so that it filters through the tubes and the face mask here to clean it out so he will not be overcome with all these horrible things in the air. This filters the contaminated air out. If you don't have that, and I'm going to go into this more in detail, you and I have to have the Holy Spirit to filter out the contaminated air that we breathe. I'm saying spiritual air that we breathe. And these men, when they go in, or women, we have women who do this too, I'm not one of them, go in like that, they can breathe clear air. Because there is a filtering system, a little fan that runs that gives them fresh air through the tubing and through the respirator itself. We're going to look at that more under our shield of faith. Okay. All right. All right. Our last piece of armor for this session is going to be suiting up by putting on our shoes. So let's read verse 15 of our text. I've got too many papers up here. And at church, and people who sit near me at church know I need this much room. Because I have to have paper, pencils, Bibles, the whole thing right here. And they've learned to accept that. Right, Maria? She's learned to accept. Okay, let's look at, because we're going to be talking about her shoes now. I have to have space. Verse 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. We need to bear this in mind, as previously stated. The entire imagery of this portion of scripture, we as believers, we are equipping ourselves with Jesus Christ. Because each piece of weapon represents him. We are equipping ourselves with Jesus Christ. Peace. I believe everyone desires peace in your very being, beginning in our very being. And scripture after scripture directs us in attaining peace. And I have these on this scripture sheet. Starting with Romans chapter 5, verse 1, over to the shoe part of your scripture sheet. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of what? Hostility. And then John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then in John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Do you think we're in tribulation? We're going to see more and more persecution. Peace. The word has several meanings. Among those are peace with God, peace with our fellow believers, our families. That happens when we have peace with God. It kind of works its way on down. And also peace, having full confidence in God, not worrying, not having any worries. What does it mean to have the shoes prepared for declaring the gospel of peace? The shoes of a warrior. Now, these aren't exactly like that. You're going to get a little gift when you leave here. There's going to be a review of all this. And you'll see the pictures that really look like that. But the feet of the warriors were so important. Their shoes were so important because they had to be. They were designated the strength of that soldier. They had to be sturdy. They were made of thick leather. The soles were studded with hobnails, kind of like cleats, except a hobnail. And they gave the wearer a firm and sound foundation. The studs on the soles kept the soldier from slipping in battle. If his shoes were broken, he could not march far and he couldn't stand his ground. I got to drink some. And all it is lemon and honey. Probably too much lemon. Okay, the word preparation or readiness is translated prepared foundation. And this is what it means to stand firm. A lot of people have thought that this means going out and talking to people about the Lord, which we're supposed to do. And that's what that means. But you have to bear in mind that this is defensive weaponry. He says, stand firm. Be ready always to give a man an answer for the faith that is in you with meekness and fear. And I think ESV says with gentleness and patience. Know what you believe. Stand firm on what you believe. Because this is what you're supposed to do when people come at you. It's defensiveness. This is why we have to stay in the Word, and this is why I think it's so important for children to memorize the Word of God and have it in them. And the English versions are very hard to learn because they're everywhere. But they know what it means, and that's the big thing. Know what it means. I was taught KJV, and that was easier because it flows like poetry. So I learned that. Okay, in 1 Peter 3:15, I just said that. It says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and give every man a reason for the answer of the faith that is in you with meekness and fear. You don't have to explain what everybody else believes. You have to know what you believe. And I love 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Colossians 2:6-7. Let me find it here. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Peace gives us confidence to stand firm. I want to tell you this. Tom will give you an example. If we have the peace of God by understanding what we believe and what we know, people come to you. I know they do because they do me. That's in the Bible, but you tell me where. Well, Miss Velma back there tells, I've told the children, I'm so sorry I didn't learn all the addresses. I know the verse. I didn't learn all the addresses. So we're trying to hammer the addresses into these children so they have it, hold on to it. So what I do, I think about this. Again, in my profession, we had inspections all the time. Don't you hate inspections? I hate inspections. And they would say they're coming in to inspect. I don't know. What are they going to find now? And in my department, whatever department I was in, they may come to me and say, how do you do this particular test? Maybe one I only do once a year, if that. Tell me exactly how you do that test to get the results that you're supposed to have. And my answer to them, if I don't know, because I don't do it every day, is this. I have a procedure book right at my hand, and I will go to the procedure book, turn to the page, and walk through that. And that's acceptable. That's acceptable. Ladies, we have a procedure book. So when people say, where is that? I don't know right now, but I'll find it for you. It's your procedure book. So we are told, therefore, job of the preparation, the foundation of the gospel of peace. And like I said, peace gives us confidence to stand firm. Our spiritual battle often takes place in our thoughts and in our attitudes. So we have to have inner peace, or the thoughts and attitudes get all crazy. That's why I don't watch television anymore, and I have to. Okay, inner peace. We have to always remember this battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The Holy Spirit keeps us from losing our footing. The Holy Spirit keeps us from losing our footing. There are times when the battle seems unbearable, but Jesus speaks peace to us in the midst of very difficult circumstances. He is our peace that we just read. And in 2 Chronicles, and I've got that written here on your scripture page, this is a battle that was ensuing. This is what he says. And he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, be not afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. We can rest in that too, ladies. It doesn't depend on us. This is the relationship of the shoes with the armor. We must always be standing in the strength of the Lord. This means to pray without ceasing, and we can only do that if we're in constant communication with Jesus Christ. Do people ever come to you and say, I need you to pray for me now? Do you have to go back here and clean up something you've not straightened out with God before you can do that? Stay in constant communication with God. We've all been there. I don't exclude myself from that. But it makes us think we have to stay in communication with Him. The world has to have it. They don't understand. And they don't know who to go to except those who say they are of Jesus Christ. We always stand strong in His strength. Do we have the toxic sin of attempting to find peace in everything except our Lord? Okay, comparing the boots of the hazmat PPE, we notice the importance of the type of footwear. Oh, you're so good. The type of footwear that they need for each battle that they go into. Each battle they go into, they have to have the proper footing, proper shoes. And in order to bring peace to the chaos of a biohazard incident, the boots have to be protective and they've got to be sturdy. The footwear must comply with the standards required to fight each problem. Sometimes it's necessary, I know you've seen it and you see it up here better. You see the tape around the boots, and the tape left one of my boots, but it's still on the other boot. And they do that because when they go into a situation where there's poisons and toxins and spilling out in contaminated water or contaminated chemicals, it can ride over that boot. So they have to be protected, and they put tape around that boot. So they demonstrate the same thing Paul is saying here about the sturdiness of these shoes. They've got to be able to stand and got to be able to move. And in order to bring chaos, they've got to have the right equipment. This sturdy footwear needs to protect against many dangers. Now, if they were going into some type of situation where it was energized electrical conductors, they would have different shoes. They would have more these shoes on D than they have there. They would have to protect themselves against rolling objects or stepping on things that might puncture those shoes. Pesticides, chemical spills, that kind of thing. If the boots are broken or damaged, It could result in serious injury or even death to the wearer. They must be sturdy. To lose their footing would result in severe injury or even death. Broken shoes will spell defeat. We're going to have questions and answers right now. So before we do that, though, I want to explain something to you. Let's do the questions and answers first. Okay, are there any questions that I can try to answer? Oh, you understood all of it. Hey, thank you, Jesus Christ. Yeah, did you understand it? You don't have any questions. And don't think your question's foolish, because if you have a question like that, somebody else wants to ask it, but won't. Hey, wonderful. Okay, Terry. Okay.
But you've got the four levels here. Right? On level B and level C, the main difference is that B has air supply.
C has air supply.
C has...
has the filter, the PAPR.
On the respirator.
Yeah, this is the PAPR. This one has air supply, but it doesn't filter like this one.
Correct. But it should...
but it gives protection.
Level A has... air supply in the self-contained.
It definitely self-contained.
Never goes out. No. Never comes in.
This is mostly nuclear, which I don't deal with. Thank you, Terry. Are there any other questions? Okay, I'm going to explain something to you. I'm going to put that verse up to you. I'm going to explain something to you about the little toxic cards you've got in your hand. Okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray about it. Write down a toxic sin that stands between you and God that you want to confess to Him and you want to get rid of it. Write it down. We're going to take it up at the end of the second session. And then what we're going to do is we're going to apply. Thank you, thank you. We're going to use... okay, I told Joy over there, I says, we aren't going to try to destroy those hazardous waste sins the way Hazmat does with a Hazwhopper, or we'll blow up this building. And I don't think they want us to blow up the building. Not necessary. We're going to use this verse in Micah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So we're going to destroy those sins that you put on your little toxic paper. We're going to put them in water. I've got water in here that I'm going to be putting right here. And we're going to kill them with water, flood them with water. As God so says, He will do spiritually, He will do that for us. So that's what you've got, those little yellow papers, and I probably need two or three of them. Little yellow papers, and you write down your toxic sins that you want God to take care of, and you're going to confess to Him. Okay, no more questions? I am amazed. Okay. All right. Oh, I think all of you are ready to serve Hazmat, or maybe... Okay, let's pray and to close this session. And thank you so much. Oh, our blessed Heavenly Father, how we thank you that you prepare us. You always prepare us for any battle we go into. You always have what we need. Help us to live so close to you that we understand the weapons we need with each battle we face. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. Yes. Do what? F what? I think that's going to, Julie, that'll start the second session with Faith is a Victory. Oh, yeah, that pretty song you were doing. Okay.
Let's all stand up and we're going to sing.